Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds, for you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. Yesterday, we heard the words of James, words of comfort for the Christian when he or she feels forsaken by God because of trials. But lest you think that trials are unique to the New Testament era, our reading from Isaiah today reminds us that God's people have never lived in a rose garden. But Zion said, "The Lord has forsaken me, my Lord has forgotten me." I could perhaps quit the sermon right now, having left the hard work to the new guy yesterday, but I won't. For God's words through the prophet Isaiah, spoken about 700 years before the birth of Christ, as well as the words of James, are also a comfort to us who live at this time. But Zion said, the first thing we have to clarify is who Zion is. Zion is the city of God, the people of God. In short, the church. The church is the speaker in this first verse of our reading, and the church is the recipient of God's response in the following verses. In our reading yesterday, James was focusing on the trials of the individual Christian. Today, in our reading from Isaiah, we focus on the trials of the church as a whole. But Zion said, "The Lord has forsaken me, my Lord has forgotten me." It is ironic that the people of God, the people of the church, should feel this way. Even though we have been redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ, we can look around us and bemoan the state of the church, saying, "The Lord has forsaken me." Even more ironic is it to think that God has forsaken us. For there is only one person whom God has forsaken completely. The one who cried out on the cross, my God, why have you forsaken me?" That one, our Lord Jesus Christ, was forsaken on our behalf so that we may never be forsaken. Appearances and feelings aside, God will never forsake us. And this is precisely what God tells the church, us, through the prophet Isaiah. Can a woman forget her nursing child, that she should have no compassion on the son of her womb? Yet people are fallible, not always living up to expectations. We have to answer the question, can a woman forget, with a yes, maybe. But God can't forget. Even these may forget, yet I will not forget you. We, and everyone in the holy Christian church, have been born again of water and the word. Because God redeemed us by the blood of his son, Jesus Christ, because God applied that redemption to us in the waters of baptism, because God has prepared a place for us in heaven, God will never forget us. Behold, I have engraved you on the palms of my hands. Your walls are continually before me. God has engraved us and everyone in the holy Christian church on the palms of his hands. God has engraved our names in the book of life. God has engraved on us the holy cross of the suffering and death of his son, our Lord Jesus Christ, engraved on us in our baptism, and remembered by us whenever we make that same sign of the cross with the invocation in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Yet we say, "The Lord has forsaken me, my Lord has forgotten me." How can that possibly be? Our God could stop there, but he continues to respond to this plea of forsakenness. Our Lord continues to give us his own reassurance with these positive words from the prophet Isaiah. "The children of your bereavement will yet say in your ears, The place is too narrow for me. Make room for me to dwell in. Then you will say in your heart, who has borne me these? I was bereaved and barren, exiled and put away. But who has brought up these? Behold, I was left alone. From where have these come? Appearances can be deceiving, or rather, appearances are deceiving. What we see with our eyes is not the reality. What we see with our eyes is a church that is declining in the world, threatening to be overwhelmed by the world with its own ideas of power and influence and importance. But what we see with our eyes is not what God sees. What God sees will cause us to exclaim, behold, I was left alone. From where have these come? Dr. Martin Luther, in his commentary on the book of Isaiah, explained it this way. What you are now, according to the appearance of the flesh, is like a desolation and a destroyed and devastated land. In appearance, the Christian church is like a devastated and ruined city. As the saying goes, Christians are sparsely sown, so the church is like a ghost town. This city is inhabited by few citizens and is deserted, so that one citizen lives where 300 ought to be. The city must get filled up again so that there are no vacancies and that the inhabitants exclaim that the walls must be enlarged in circumference. The comparison is a civic one. So the church looks uninhabited and forsaken, and yet it will be enlarged by a large number of Christians, becoming increasingly larger in succeeding generations. Therefore, we must abide in the word. We shall be enlarged. Therefore, we must abide in the word. We shall be enlarged. The words are those of Luther, but the sentiments are truly biblical. We shall be enlarged. We are not the last generation of Christians. The church continues. God's word has promised us that. And it is God's word, and only God's word, that will give us continued growth, continued continuity, continued viability. The present situation may look dismal and grim, but God assures us that he will never forsake his church, the people he has bought with the blood of his son, Jesus Christ. In the words of God in Isaiah, even these may forget, yet I will not forget you. To which the church responds, behold, I was left alone. From where have these come? In the words of a more modern man, Norman Nagel, the church goes on and on. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.